the glorious grace of adoption in Christ. The glorious grace of adoption in Christ. That's our title this morning. And as I've indicated, we're looking at verses 5 and 6 of Ephesians 1. So what image or images, congregation, come into your minds when I say the word alien? Alien. Someone with a long neck and bug eyes, perhaps? Sunken nose? Interestingly, the dictionary definition for the word alien is a lot more down to earth than some kind of fictitious extraterrestrial. A person of another family, race, or nation. A person of another family, race, or nation. An alien is somebody who doesn't belong. In the Maori language, the word turangawaewae describes a place where one has a right to stand, a place of belonging which comes through kinship, through fellowship, through family. And when someone does not have a place of belonging, a turangawaewae, they are alienated, detached, separated, and alone. The vital importance to human health of belonging is widely recognized by psychologists who understand that we, who may or may not understand that we are fundamentally designed by our Creator to live our lives in communities, in families, not in isolation. The Swiss physician and author Paul Tournier wrote in his book, A Place for You, the child who has been able to grow up harmoniously in a healthy home finds a welcome everywhere. Wherever he goes, he will be able to make a place his own. And he writes, on the other hand, when the family is such that a child cannot fit himself into it properly, he looks everywhere for some other place, leading a wandering existence, incapable of settling down anywhere. His tragedy is that he carries about within himself this fundamental incapacity for any real attachment. Could be said that the root of all the problems that people like us have in our relationships with one another stem from the fact that we've all grown up in homes that are, to a greater or lesser degree, less than healthy and harmonious. There's always some degree, isn't there, in a family of dysfunctionality. My wife Jenny, in her work as a volunteer counselor in a local high school, has observed that the most common factor in the mental, emotional, and physical turmoil that she observes in her students is brokenness in families. People who don't feel they belong. It's easy for us, isn't it, to sit in a church like this and look at other people and think, that family has it all together. They don't have the problems that we have. But my years as a pastor have taught me that's not true. Every family has its struggles, to a greater or lesser degree. Fundamentally, we lack a place of belonging because fundamentally, we by nature are alienated from God, estranged from Him. Because you see, God's family, if I use that term family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a holy family, perfect family, and we're not by nature like that. And so in our text this morning, the Apostle Paul is praising God for the spiritual blessing of adoption in Christ, His beloved Son, in which, according to His will, God chooses. He chooses aliens. He chooses people who are estranged from Him, and He brings them in to His own family, His holy family, so that He would be praised for His glorious grace. That's what we're going to look at this morning, just briefly. three headings: adopted by God's prior choice in Christ, secondly, adopted to bring praise to God in Christ, and thirdly, adopted to receive blessings in Christ. Let's look at it briefly under those three headings. Adopted by God's prior choice in Christ. One of the most popular genres of movies today are superhero movies, aren't they? Regular releases with, one might say, monotonous regularity. What do you need to be a superhero? Superpowers. Some superpowers include the ability to change the laws of nature, teleportation, to be able to be anywhere instantaneously, and telepathy, the ability to read other people's thoughts. Quite handy in a marriage, I think, to be able to do that. But these superpowers are abilities that only God possesses. His power is so almighty, so complete, that he can and he does predetermine ahead of time and control all events, however great or small. The Apostle Paul is describing the superpower in verse 11 when he writes of God who works all things according to the counsel of his will. He exercises his authority over everybody and everything in such a way that he in no way ever violates the choices that people like you and me make. He's never responsible for the things that we do, say, or think against him or against anybody else. There is a single verse in the Bible that demonstrates this mysterious reality, and it's Luke 22:22. And I'll quote it. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. God the Father determined to send his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to his death, to be betrayed. Judas Iscariot made a free will decision to betray Jesus, for which he was held fully accountable. The divine superpower of being able to determine in advance what will later take place is linked in our text to God's action in bringing aliens into his own family. He predestined us, verse 5, for adoption through Jesus Christ. The word adoption in the original Greek language has two parts. The first part is the word son, and the second part is the word to place. So the word adoption means to place somebody. We could say that God determined beforehand to provide a turangawewe, a place of belonging, through Jesus Christ. And that place of belonging is within God's own family. And that's what Paul later writes to the Ephesians. He says to the believers there, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. God's choice of who he's going to bring into his family is made according to the purpose of his will. There's no, and we looked at this last time, there's no human action or decision which God takes into account to choose a particular individual to be saved, to be adopted. He doesn't select those who are attractive to him, those who are the most godly, those who are the most lovely, those who are the most saintly, those who are the most talented. As Martin Luther once said, God's will has no why. God's will has no why. There is no revealed reason other than according to the purpose of his will. Some of you may know that at the time of the Protestant Reformation, the doctrine, the teaching of justification and adoption were really combined together, so that adoption was really dealt with under the heading of justification. And so whilst these two key biblical doctrines are closely related, they are distinct, and both are legal declarations that God makes. In justification, God declares a person to be not guilty based upon the completed work of Christ, that of buying back a person for God through the currency of Christ's own life, his blood spilt, and crediting the perfect righteousness of Christ to the sinner. That's, in a brief, justification. In adoption, the change of status, which is founded on this legal declaration God makes of justification, goes further. Adoption brings a forgiven sinner not only into peace with God, but into the closest possible intimate relationship with God. Only those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior have been given the right of adoption into his family. John puts it this way in John 1:12, "But to all who did receive him," that is Christ, "who believed in his name, he gave the right to be children of God." So you may not feel much like one of God's children this morning, but if you have turned to the Lord in repentance and faith, if you trust in Jesus Christ as being the one who died in your place, and he's now the Lord who governs your life, then you have been adopted into God's family and you are a child of God. There is no higher position, there is no possible higher status for the descendants of Adam to have than this. And this is why it is cause for such praise for God, his glorious grace. Brothers and sisters, see what love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. That was 1 John 3:1. How inexpressibly amazing is this privilege of calling the creator of this universe, the Almighty God, the one who possesses all things, my heavenly Father. To be adopted into God's family is a blessing of inestimable worth. And it comes to us as God's children with a purpose. And that's our second point. Adopted to bring praise to God in Christ. So think about human parents who adopt children into their family. They need to make sacrifices to bring, if you will, an alien into their family. They do this because they're determined to set their love on the child or children they choose to adopt. And that's also what God does in adopting his children in Christ. He chooses to set his love upon these alien people. However, imagine a couple or a person who decided to adopt some children because they wanted to be well thought of by their extended family and friends. Oh, that's a very admirable thing you've done there by adopting these children from outside your family. Someone who adopted for that reason, so that they could receive praise from other people. If their reason for taking children into their home was so that they could be praised, we wouldn't think so very well of their motive, would we? And rightly so, we'd think, well, they're kind of self-centered, really, wanting to adopt children for that reason, so that people would think well of them. The Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesian Christians, he explains the reason that God has adopted them, has predestined them to be adopted as his children, to the praise of his glorious grace. Is there any reason then difference between God's reason for adopting aliens as his children, so that he can be praised, and human parents doing adoption for the same reason? Well, there is. There's a huge difference. Let me explain. God is perfect in all his ways. And so he is worthy of all praise from his creatures who were designed to acknowledge the truth of who he is. There is no body and nothing higher than God. And so to direct praise to God is absolutely the right thing to do in all situations. So if God were to direct praise to anybody or anything other than himself, he would not be being truthful. He would not be the perfect God he is. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Revelation 4:11. To praise God is always the highest and right thing to do. He is worthy of all praise for his glorious superpowers. His glorious superpowers. He's not only honorable and worthy of praise for his exercise of perfect power and authority and justice, he's also worthy of praise for his perfect mercy and glorious grace. Grace, as many of you will be aware, is sometimes described using the first letters, or rather the letters of the word grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Sometimes you and I exercise love and kindness and compassion, and we do so because we're made in God's image. Not because we've generated these traits ourselves. They don't come ultimately from within ourselves. They come from the God in whose image we are made. And so God is always to be praised for the good aspects of his image which are present in us. And so we are adopted into God's family for this reason, to bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father in the way in which we live our lives day by day. And so how, you might ask, can we praise God for his glorious grace? Well, Paul helps us in that question later on in the book of Ephesians when he says in chapter 5, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so the human parent or parents who adopt children into their family, who say, you know, I adopted this alien child because that's what God has done for me. And I praise my God because he has given to me in measure love and compassion and grace. And so these good things that you see in my life come because I follow him. I acknowledge him. When Paul writes about being imitators of God, he uses a word from which we get the English word mimic. Mimic. We give praise to God who adopted us by mimicking, by copying him in his characteristics, in his character, in his work. And by doing this, we show our family resemblance to our Heavenly Father. We start to look like him in our behavior and our attitudes. And the Proverbs wisely state in more than one place, a wise son makes the father glad. And those of us who are fathers, and mothers would be true also, who have wise sons and daughters, what a blessing. How pleasing it is. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. He is pleased when we exercise wisdom and we behave like him. And so God, in his glorious grace, you see, has given to us in his Son his image, our elder brother, if you like, that we can copy, we can mimic our elder brother, Jesus Christ, as in our example. And just very briefly, what does that copying look like? Well, that's unpacked for us later in the book of Ephesians in chapters 4 through 6, but I'm just going to touch on a few things briefly. Firstly, always speaking the truth. Ephesians 4:25, that's what the family does. The family of God speaks the truth, because that's what God, our Heavenly Father, does. The family resemblance includes being careful if we are angry, which let's face it, all of us are at times, that we don't sin in our anger or continue in it. Ephesians 4:26. In our speech, that we only speak ever in a way which builds others up. Now that may at times require us to say things that people may not want to hear, but are true, but our objective always to speak words of grace that build up, Ephesians 4:29. Being sexually pure, Ephesians 5:3-7, is part of the family characteristics. God is pure, So we, if we're to bear resemblance to our Heavenly Father, we're to be pure too in our bodies. Not getting drunk, Ephesians 5:18. Being in control of ourselves at all times. See, if we live lives that bear the family resemblance of God, then we give praise to His glorious grace in adopting us into His family. That's what Paul's saying. Now, you and I don't do that all the time, do we? There are times when we kind of have throwbacks to our other family, the family from which we naturally came, the family whose father is the devil, when Jesus spoke about in John 8. When we rebel and resist Him, when we sin, when we resist His fatherly wisdom and we say, no, we know better than that. We'll do it our way. Then we are throwing back to our old family. When we resist His discipline, when we refuse to learn, we don't understand what He's doing. And often then He just keeps on disciplining us. And eventually, for many people, but not all, the penny drops. Finally they submit to the Heavenly Father's discipline. By God's glorious grace, we are able to be nurtured in the family of the local church, represented on here by this congregation, so that our brothers and sisters are used by God in ways that help us to imitate God as we observe one another, as we are molded and shaped in interaction with one another, sometimes painful, difficult, but used of the Lord because He loves His children for their good. Brothers and sisters, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. God's adopted children come into His family to the praise of His glorious grace. And in doing this, He has blessed us in the Beloved. That's our final point. Adopted to receive blessings in Christ. Now, one of the difficulties I've got with the third point in the sermon is there are so many blessings and we don't want to be here all day. So I'm just going to go through very quickly just some of the blessings of being adopted in Christ. And if you miss some of this, you can look at the handout, you can listen to the sermon online, or you can ask me for a copy of the manuscript so you don't miss any of the blessings. So let's just think very briefly about the blessings of someone like myself who's been adopted into a human family. We bear, as adopted people in a human family, the name of our adopted parents. I bear the name Waldron, which was not my original name. We're cared for and provided for by our adoptive parents. We become heirs of the family estate. And so Paul writes about the benefits that come to adopted children in God's family. In our text, he writes, and I'll read the whole thing, "He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved." And so let's just think very briefly, what are some of the blessings, the rights, the privileges that come to adopted children in God's family? Well, the Christian has God's name placed upon him or her, Ephesians 2:19. Christians truly are members of the household of God, Ephesians 2:19. The child of God enjoys the daily blessings of the Father's protection and provision. And as we've touched on already, that includes discipline, the fatherly discipline of God. Hebrews 12 again. In the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I put it to you, if you observe those who are mature and strong in their faith in this congregation, I think it would always be true that they are those who have also been through themselves this painful process of discipline. And that is how the Lord is pleased to increase and develop within us this peaceable fruit of righteousness. It doesn't happen by magic. It doesn't ordinarily happen instantaneously. It happens over a period of time as God exercises this fatherly discipline. It's one of the privileges of being an adopted child. See, God is treating us as any loving parent would. He's caring for us so much that he's correcting us, guiding us, directing us. Someone who's adopted becomes Christ's brother or his sister. Christ being the elder, firstborn son among many brothers, Romans 8:29. The adopted person becomes an heir, a co-heir with Christ in the inheritance which God has promised to his children. An inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, 1 Peter 1:4. And the child of God adopted into his family is assured of this inheritance and this part in his kingdom because he or she is kept, guarded, and protected, sealed for the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:3. And the adopted child is assured that at every single moment and circumstance of his or her life, God is working in a way that everything is for that person's good. The adopted child is led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14. Assured by the Spirit of their place of belonging, their turangawaiwai, within God's family. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, Romans 8:16. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, therefore an heir through God. Galatians 4:6-7. I've certainly been blessed through being adopted into the Waldron family, but this is far, far overshadowed by the adoption by God himself into the Heavenly Father. We're adopted into the beloved Son. The one whom God loves, Christ the Beloved One. Christ who is the supreme object of the Father's love. And it's through Christ, that only begotten Son of God, that we receive God's great grace to be adopted into his family. So let me ask you, friend, this morning, do you have a place of belonging? Do you have a place of standing that will endure not only in this life but through into the next? Do you have yourself the things that we've been speaking about this morning? Or are you alienated from God? Are you separated and distant from him? Having heard this message this morning from God's word, do you want to be part of this family? What we've been speaking about, this privileged, blessed family? Really, who wouldn't? What do you want? Do you personally want to be part of it? How do I become adopted, you might ask? How can I do this? Well, God does it, but it can be made evident in your life if you can respond to the call of Christ with saving faith, then you can be assured that you have been predestined to adoption through Jesus Christ. And so in light of this sermon, maybe you're sitting there now thinking, well, what should I do? I've heard of this wonderful set of privileges and blessings, but what can I do? Some people who heard a sermon preached by Peter in the book of Acts, and they asked the same question. They said, well, what should we do? And this is what he said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, praise God for his glorious grace in adopting sons and daughters into his family. Amen.